And the Lord said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Is that snake still eating the dust of the earth? They're crawling on the earth. They really are. Okay, the verse, next couple of verses. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said. Now he's putting a curse over everybody here. Unto the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow shall you bring forth children. I mean, my lands, if that girl had have known what she was doing, she wouldn't have done it, would she? How many of you women have had a child or two in your life and you went through the most serious, awful pain you ever went through in your life bringing that little guy or girl into the world? I mean, have you done it? Yes. It's painful, isn't it? Until, if you learn the promises of God, you can do it with a whole lot less pain, but most women don't ever learn it. I mean, you go up to the children's ward up there and see a normal little girl having her first or second baby, and she's screaming her head off. Anybody ever seen that? Sure. Happens all the time. Some of you may have done it. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. I ain't never seen a woman that likes to hear that. I mean, who wrote the book? Did God say the husband would rule over the wife? Your desire, wives, shall be to your husband. I mean, women don't want to hear this. They don't want to obey God, but the men don't want to obey God either. So, you know, what's the big deal here? You want to know why we have so many divorces in the church? Because people do not know this book. They will not obey this book. They will not do what this book says. And the major problem we're having today, especially what I've been confronted with in the last several weeks, is all revolving around either a disobedient dad or a disobedient man or a disobedient woman in the family. You know, and I'm seeing this, I mean, and they're totally wrong in what they're doing. And until they get right with God, they're going to have hell in their home. And their children are going to be sick and their children are going to die. But they don't realize this. If men and women realize when they get into disobedience of not doing what God says, it's going to bring sickness and disease to your life and to your children's life, like the story I just told you about the little girl born with eczema. I mean, if that couple had have never found this ministry, they might have never got that little girl healed in her entire life. You know that? This is one of the few ministries in the world that God has revealed to us that sickness is caused by sin. There's almost nobody. We hear people all the time say, I never heard this concept. I never heard this nowhere in my life. I've been in church all my life and I've never heard this. But I ask them, well, do you ever see a healing or a miracle in your church? No. How long have you been there? 50 years? 60 years? I go to church every Sunday. There's something wrong with the church. Because is there sick people in those churches? I'm telling you. There's lots of them. And what is the cause? A lot of it is right here in the family. Because God says, because of the curse, that when the woman did what she did in the Garden of Eden, God says, and your desire, Eve, shall be to your husband. Now that's, he's talking to every woman that was ever made right there. And then he says, and your husband shall rule over you. In other words, I'm putting him in head as a spiritual head of the family, and you, wife, are to obey and submit to your husband in all things. Boy, do the women don't want to hear that. Your husband makes a decision and you don't like it, you just tell him, well, if you don't change your mind, it's a divorce. I'm out of here. I'm moving out or you can move out. If that husband's walking in love with God, that woman's in total rebellion to God. I mean, I didn't write the book. God wrote the book. Now then, we're in chapter 3. Let's go on down a few more verses. Let's don't stop there. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and not me. Now who did Adam listen to? His wife. Who was he supposed to listen to? The Father. Who's over the man? God. You don't listen to your wife and make a decision. You listen to what your wife says, and you run all the information she gives you through your brain, and then you listen to God, and between you and God and the input your wife gives you, you make a decision. And when you make that decision, God's going to hold you responsible, not her. Now, if you take what she said and use it, he's still going to hold you responsible. He is not going to hold the wife responsible. So he takes the wife off the hook right here. But he holds the man accountable in every case. And unto Adam, he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Now, God told him to do something, didn't he? And did he disobey? Did he listen to his wife? He sure did. He listened to his wife and not God. Now, today, the principle is exactly the same. God's still talking to us men. He's telling us what we're supposed to do. And a lot of times, our wives have a different input, and they tell us, well, but I think we ought to do this way. But you say, but honey, God says, well, I know, but you know, if you don't do it my way, you'll pay. Have you ever heard Christian women talk like that? Oh, yeah, I have too. I've dealt with several of them the last few weeks. I know. Because you have eaten of the tree of which I command you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Isn't that something? He's going to have to suffer. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In other words, the man, he's going to pay big time because he didn't obey God, isn't he? Thorns and thistles. I mean, as every farmer knows what it is to go out, you don't have to worry about planting the tares. Them boogers will come up on their own. But when you, just like all these guys that are out in these fields right now, they're all plowing these fields, getting them ready to plant wheat. And I'm telling you, if they don't get that wheat in the ground pretty quick, if it comes a rain or two, there won't be no wheat come up out there. There'll be all kinds of brushes and thistles and thorns and everything else will come up, but there won't be no wheat. To make wheat come up, you've got to plow and till the ground and then sow the wheat. And then the wheat comes up and then the tares comes up with it. You're going to get everything. But good stuff don't come up unless you plant it. And so, verse 19 and 20. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return. That's quite a curse God put upon the man for his little stupidity, wasn't it? And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, she was going to be the mother of all living. 21 and 22. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So God, he's going to be merciful to them. He's going to even make them something to wear. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand to take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. You mean there is a tree of life? Obviously there was. It was in the garden. You could eat of the tree of life and live forever. Let's see what verse 23 and 24 says. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. In other words, he's taken him out of the garden and put him out there in the world now. And so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now let's stop and think about that a second. Reckon that garden's still there? Reckon that tree of life is still there? What if a group of men thought they could find a way to get into that garden, men of the world today, and they could eat of that tree, they could live forever in their fallen state, in their wickedness? You reckon God's going to ever let one of them get through?
No. No.
You think they're dumb enough to believe they can do this?
Yes.
Yep. That's exactly right. There is men today looking for the Garden of Eden. They think they're going to find it. And when they do, they think they're going to get in. And they think they're going to be able to eat of that tree. And they're going to live forever. But I got news for you. You cannot overcome God. So you're wasting your time. Now then, it's very easy to find the tree of life. Jesus, for those of us that want to accept Him as Lord and Savior, He is the tree of life.
Amen.
We can accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He will take this old fallen nature thing that we got, and He'll make it brand new, and He'll fix you where you have eternal life, and you can live forever. That's awesome. But it's not the way the world wants it. The world don't want to go with the standards that God laid out in His Word, because they're very rigid. They're very rigid. Now then, let's go to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 in the King James. Genesis 4, verses 1 through 7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Then it said, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So two different brothers, no big deal. Verse 3 and 4. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. So obviously God told him to bring a gift. You know, he's never changed that. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.